Well, it only takes a few seconds, just a moment when a parent averts their eyes and all of a sudden their child is gone. This has happened to me several times in my life, unfortunately. But the first time, I'll never forget, my parents have a cabin in northern Arizona. And the cabin is situated in such a way that you cannot see any other cabins when you were there. And one whole side of the property is Sitgreaves National Forest. And we were up there when Kyrie was about 2 years old, our oldest child. And I was outside chopping wood because it was very cold and we needed wood, so I was chopping wood. And Jennifer was inside with Kyrie, at least I thought. Because after about 20 or 30 minutes, Jennifer comes outside and she looks around and she says, "Well, where's Kyrie?" And I said, "Well, she's inside with you." She said, "No, she hasn't been inside with me for 20 minutes. I thought she was outside with you." And we look at each other and our hearts dropped. Because just across the fence is a million acres of nothingness. And she could have easily been lost there. So my first instinct was to go across the fence, to run into the Sitgreaves National Forest to see if by chance she was over there. And I run across the fence and I listen. And I hear this voice singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Most beautiful words I'd ever heard sing in my whole entire life. I run about 30 yards into the forest, which could not be seen from the cabin, and there was Kyrie just kind of moseying around, singing songs as if the world was just fantastic, not realizing that she'd given her parents a heart attack. But folks, think of how close it could have been if it had been another 20 minutes and she wasn't singing and we weren't able to find her. It's a scary thing. Now, today our lesson is Jesus in the temple, and I can kind of exactly feel how Mary and Joseph must have felt, because after 3 days, they say Jesus isn't here. Now, I know it sounds like 3 days is a long time, 20 minutes without Kyrie, and we're freaked out. What about 3 days? I'm sure you've all seen that movie, or maybe you've heard about it, Home Alone, you know, with Macaulay Culkin. And I've never bought into the premise of this movie, because I don't even think it's possible that the family can get on a plane to fly to Paris and forget that one of the children is still at home. I just don't think it's possible. But after my own foibles as a parent in my life, I say, well, maybe that is possible. I don't know. You think, how could they go 3 days without seeing Jesus? My goodness, 3 days. But you have to understand that in Jerusalem at that time, when they went down to the feast, all the roads into Jerusalem, well, they were kind of dangerous roads. And these were not roads that you spent, a lot of time on by yourself. If you were going to travel to and from Jerusalem, you went with the group. And so Mary and Joseph, it probably wasn't just Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Obviously, they would have noticed that he was gone. It was probably a large entourage of people, a whole caravan of people that had gone into Jerusalem for the feast, and they were going back. And Mary and Joseph probably said, saw the top of some kid's head and said, "That's Jesus, we're good to go, let's go." And so they go. And 3 days later, they find out that Jesus isn't with them. Now, I've studied this story a million times, and I've looked at this story a million times, and I understand that the people do things that kids get lost and stuff like that, but when you look at this story, you got to think to yourself, why was it included in the Bible? What is it about this story that God wants us to learn? You know, all Scripture is God-breathed. Well, I think probably one of the lessons that we could probably learn is that we all need to be better parents. At least I need to be a better parent. We all do stupid things. As parents, we're not the greatest parents in the world. If you look at society, what is it now? I mean, if you're a great parent, you're a tiger mom, right? Or you're a helicopter parent, right? You're always hovering over your child. You're always guiding everything that they do. They don't have any time to really do things that aren't guided by you so that your child can grow up to be this perfect child. And that's what we should be doing. And not all parents do that. As a matter of fact, there's a story just in September of this year of a lady named Tammy Cooper. And in September in Texas, this mother was arrested for letting her children play outside. Tammy Cooper says that her two children were riding their scooters in the cul-de-sac of the neighborhood, which she watched from the front yard. The police officer arrived a short time later saying that the neighbors had complained that the children were playing in the street without supervision, which, by the way, I did my whole entire life. Cooper was then arrested for child endangerment and had to spend the night in jail. Now, what's interesting is that when you dig into the depth of this story, it's not necessarily the police officers or CPS, it's basically the neighbor. The neighbor saw these kids playing in the street, and they didn't like the fact that they thought that they should be, you know, helicopter mom and tiger mom, and somebody should be dictating every ounce of time of their life. You know, there's a book written, let's see if I've got the name of this book. Yes, I believe I do. No, I don't. So there you go. There was this book that was written about how we should let our children just run free and experience the world by themselves. It's called Field Range Children, like field range chickens, right? And that's kind of how we should raise our children. But then there's other books that say, no, you've got to direct and you've got to make sure that your kids are doing everything that they should be doing. And I mean, who's to know what proper parenting is today? I mean, really, there's so many different things out there. Well, if you look in Scripture, Scripture is very clear about parenting. It just gives you three things. Number one, teach your children the Word of God. Bind it upon their forehead and upon their shoulder and upon everything. Make sure that they understand the Word of God. That is a command that is throughout Scripture. And it is something that we are called to do as parents, is to make sure that they understand the Word of God. Secondly, make sure that you put boundaries around your children. Now, this is said in different ways in different parts of Scripture. You know all the saying that says, spare the rod and spoil the child, right? That's not in Scripture, just so you know. Ben Franklin made that up. But it is a very important part of Scripture that says that you should raise your children, train your children the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. And the third one that Paul seems to harp on a lot in his epistles is not to have parents exasperate their children. I can see that. Those are the three commands of parenting in Scripture. Everything else is basically opinion. But I don't think that's the message that he had for putting this in Scripture. There's got to be something else. Maybe it's that we shouldn't be careless when children are entrusted to us. This is something that I know firsthand because I'm kind of a careless guy. I really try very hard, and I don't even know how my children have made it to where they are, but there have been so many times in this world, in this life, when I've done things with my children that I look back on and I cannot believe I did that. There was one time I was in the front yard doing work. It's always when I'm doing work, okay? Maybe my brain doesn't work when I'm working. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm in the front yard and I'm doing work. And Jennifer said, I got to go to the LWML meeting at church. I'll be back in a couple hours. You have the kids. Now, in retrospect, I should have said, wait a minute, where are all the kids, okay? But I didn't do that. I said, okay, bye, dear, and she drives away. And about an hour later, I decide that it's probably getting dark and we're going to have dinner. And so I call all the kids in and I have three of the four. John's gone. Where's John? Oh, I think he's at Jacob's house. Well, go to Jacob's house, find John. So you go to Jacob's house, come back, John's not there. Well, maybe he's at somebody else's house. And so we checked all the houses. Pretty soon we had all the parents of the neighborhood searching for my son, who is not to be found. And this goes on for about 30 minutes, and I'm just absolutely at wit's end. I don't know what to do. And so I do whatever I do in a crisis. I go to find Jennifer and ask her what I should do in the crisis. So I actually drive to the church, I park next to her car, and I'm getting ready to go into LWML when all of a sudden somebody wakes up in the back seat of her car, kind of wipes the sleep from his eyes and says, what in the world am I doing here at church? He had fallen asleep in the back of her car and didn't tell anybody. That's where he was. I was so excited to see him. He's looking at me like, what in the world are you doing? Why are you so excited to see me? Well, it's because in today's world, you know, this was a happy ending, but there could have been times when it wouldn't be a happy ending. And you all know, because you've all who have been parents know that there have been things that you have done, and most of the time they work out okay, but sometimes we do that one thing, our attention is averted that one time, and something happens, and maybe they're injured, or even worse, our child dies, and we live with that grief and that pain for the rest of our lives for a stupid mistake. And everybody around us is saying, well, if you hadn't done that one thing, your child would not have been injured, or this would not have happened to your child. And there are a lot of people, I spent some time yesterday looking at some different websites, and there are a lot of people out there that have done some stupid things, that it was just an accident, and they've had to live with that grief for the rest of their lives. But let me tell you something, no parent is perfect. God calls us to this position to do as best as we can, and we do as best as we can, but no parent is perfect. The only perfect parent is God Himself. But even that perfect parent sent His child to come live on this earth, to go and to die and to rise again, so that He could redeem all of us imperfect parents. Now, maybe that's the message. I don't know. Because I look at this scripture and I just puzzled every time I see it. Because look at what it says. It, starting in verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" He had to be in his father's house. The sense of it is that if Mary and Joseph had truly known Jesus, they would have known that he was in the father's house. If you really know your child, I mean really know your child, you can predict where they're going to be, right? I remember, it always comes back to John. I'm sorry, John, but... every time I would take my son to South Glen Mall and we would go by KB Stores, he would turn into this guy who wanted to go into the store. And that's all he wanted to do. And the whole rest of the shopping trip would be terrible because I didn't take him into the store. So I learned over time about my son that if I was going to go into South Glen Mall, I had to hold him in my arms, point his head in the other direction, and go across that toy store. Otherwise, he would have a meltdown. And then I would have a meltdown. And then all of Parkland Mall would have a meltdown. If you know your children, you'll kind of know what they're doing. But this is no child. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ Himself. That's the one that we need to know. We need to know him so well. We need to know what motivates him. We need to know what excites him. We need to know everything about him. And if we do that, then we will not be anxious in this life. We're coming up into a brand new year, 2013. And there are a lot of people that are really worried about what 2013 is going to mean. I mean, you all, I'm sure, have been reading in the news about the fiscal cliff that I guess we're going to go over tomorrow. Or what is the new taxes and regulations in 2013 going to mean for all of us? And all the uncertainty and everything. And everybody is on edge about what's going to happen in 2013. But folks, I'm actually excited about 2013. I think 2013 may be my greatest year. That God gives me the opportunity to live next year, to love, to do work in this community. I am so excited about Christ Lutheran Vale. I'm so excited about these new buildings and all the new ministries. I'm so excited about you that I get to fellowship with you on a weekly basis. And the fact that Jesus Christ, that I know him, that he is in my life, gives me a great amount of comfort that I'm not anxious about 2013. I know that 2013 will take care of itself. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. I know where he is. And the same thing is with you. If you know Jesus Christ, if you know that he is in your life, then you don't have to worry about 2013. 2013 could be your best year ever because Jesus Christ is in your life. You know him. And because you know him, you don't need to be anxious about anything. She wasn't alone in the forest, by the way. When I got to her, my dog, Kata, was with her. And I don't know why, but for some reason, seeing my dog with her relieved me a little bit. Because I knew that if any enemy were to come and attack her, that Kata would go and attack that enemy. She was that kind of a dog. She loved her food source, which was Kyrie. She wasn't going to let anything happen to that girl. And it warmed my heart. Folks, as we go out into the wilderness of life, Jesus Christ is right there beside us. We'll never be lost in this world. Maybe that's the message. In Jesus' name, amen. My life before you, I was a flame.